The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning, tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown. Next stop, Canada itself, Kelly, I'm told. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing? You good?
Man, I'm doing good. We're all about Canada today, okay? We're at Bar Canada. We're rooting on Canada in the FIBA World Cup. Beautiful 17-point lead right now over Luka Doncic.
What is your bet here?
Again? Oh, I just got my futures ticket.
On Canada?
Yeah, on Canada.
Oh, you
plus
didn't go Canada then?
Yeah.
You didn't go USA?
No.
Okay. All right. Man's rooting for Canada.
That's right.
Here at Bar Canada. On the show today, a power-packed Wednesday with lots of guests. Will Hill will join us. Megapod star and the Bear Pod star, Will Hill from Fox Sports. He'll join us to talk about his baseball plays today, his college football plays, his pro football plays for week number one. Zach Cohen on the U.S. Open quarterfinals continuing today. Mike Pritchard on the NFL. Frank Schwab, who when you put him on the rundown, I was like, didn't we have Schwab on earlier this week? And you're like, we had him on for 4 seconds, Gil. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So we'll try Frank Schwab from
Yahoo.
We had
some tech issues day one, which we're bringing him back.
That's right. And Adam Burke, oh, that's a tough booking right there.
Well, it kind of is.
It is
anyways. Yes. And the man's moving.
And he's moving.
I was like, whoa, you're moving? I got all respect for anybody moving. I would take a whole week off.
It's like Dez is pregnant here, and they ask her to do everything. And I'm like, listen, you've got nothing else going on in your life. Make this a priority.
You're not busy. Make this stuff a priority.
Come on, Dez.
Come on.
Let's get our priorities straight. I feel like I should come here every show and just vomit out Spencer Strider stats at the beginning of the show because he is pitching tonight. So, again, just a friendly reminder, number one in Ks per nine, 13.84. Number one in K percentage, 38.0%. His K-minus walk percentage, 30.4%, is better than the K percentage of all but three starters in all of baseball. Fourth best ground ball percentage in baseball. Number one in xERA. Number one in FIP. Number one in xFIP. Number three in WAR. Anything else I leave out? Spencer Strider and the Braves, minus 300 favorites. Tonight.
Plus, he's just an overall great guy. That's what I hear.
That's right.
Voters should take that into account.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was your Spencer Strider moment. This is all for Motor City Mike, who tweeted us yesterday, accusing us of only having Spencer Strider guests.
Updated odds for that. Blake Snell, minus 215. Justin Steele, plus 230. Spencer Strider, plus 450. Zach Allen, 22-1. So, really, not much of a change at all from yesterday.
Get your Spencer Strider tickets. Ladies and gentlemen, that's at DraftKings, plus 450.
That's at DraftKings,
plus
yep.
450. And remember, Snell faces the Astros later this week. And, all that Houdini act of having a low ERA and the highest walk percentage in all of baseball, which those two things at the same time haven't been done since 1913. Good luck with that against the Astros and your historic, near-historic left-on-base percentage. Yesterday, we did our first Megapod. I'll get to that momentarily. Obviously, the biggest news in football yesterday, the Travis Kelce news. Where it came down, I was doing too many things. I was doing the Megapod after the show yesterday, Kelly, and then I went on Toronto radio. So in all of that, doing this, that, and the other thing, I think it was Will who texted and said, hey, did you hear about this Travis Kelce thing? I'm like, what? What's happening? So Travis Kelce, the all-pro tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, as you know by now, ACL intact, but he has inflammation in the knee. Yesterday, with the injury in practice, he'll test it again today to determine his availability for the season opener tomorrow night against the Detroit Lions. Andy Reid has announced Kelce suffered a hyperextended knee. That's what they're going with from yesterday's practice. And so, obviously, the betting line implication, I immediately got thrust onto the radio in Toronto there, and they're like, well, what's the impact of this? I was supposed to talk tennis. And I'm like, well, it's going to come down. This is no brilliant statement. It's going to come down. It's only going to go one direction until we find out what the actual final status is on Kelce, which we might not know till just before game time on Thursday, for all we know. And boy, did it come down. It's 4.5 now, consensus. We're showing 5. But really, as I look across the board, I'm seeing more 4.5s everywhere now in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And right behind us here at the D, which of course is a circus shop, it is at 4.4. In favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. This a move from 6.5, where it had been residing most of this time in this ballgame. Too much of a move, an overreaction in your opinion?
I saw the news come down yesterday. I was working on some show stuff and saw the news come down. And I took a piece of the Lions at 6 at the time, plus 6 at the time. I was intrigued at the slow move of the line. Because there really wasn't, you know, it was really Andy Reid saying after practice, hey, he hyperextended his knee. And it started to trickle down a bit. But, man, it took a while before we really got to four and a half.
Yeah.
So, look, I took a small piece of Lions plus six. I'm not overly confident. I think that, I mean, if Travis Kelce hits the field, he plays tomorrow night, and you're able to lay 4 points with the Chiefs.
Oh, well, this is my point on all this, right? When we knew that Tyreek Hill was not going to be part of the Chiefs anymore, most of mainstream media, and some of us as well, including myself, right? We're like, oh, boy, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Tyreek Hill. Think about how many times Tyreek Hill has bailed out Patrick Mahomes from plays where he just chucks it up and then Tyreek speeds into the football and gets it. And now you could say the same about Travis Kelce. Oh, my God, what a safety valve for Patrick Mahomes. And he is. Like, no one's denying that. But what did we learn from all of that? What we learned is that the Chiefs are just that good. They can make, through the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, it really, yes, does it hurt to not have Tyreek? Sure. Does it hurt to not have Travis Kelce? Yeah, but does it hurt on a one-game basis where the Chiefs can't figure out a way around that through the scheming, the mastery of the X's and O's from Andy Reid to begin with, and what Patrick Mahomes can do to adjust on a football field? And you're giving me this at four now? That is a wager. That's a bet. A game, okay, that I was not going to bet pre-flop ATS.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I get it from that standpoint.
And one of those games where, again, how many times have we said this? Thousands of times on this show. Some bets you have to be willing to lose. That's a bet I'm willing to lose. If I'm wrong, great.
So you're okay with that, though? You're okay with that with or without Kelce, whether he goes or doesn't?
Yes, and then there's the off chance. We don't even know if it's an off chance. Maybe it's a coin flip. Maybe it's better than a coin flip. Travis Kelce doesn't miss football games due to injury.
Right.
That he could show up and just be like, nah, I'm good. And then what? Goes right back to six and a half at that point before game time? Because that will be a quick move at that point.
It hits six again. I think it hits six again. Maybe we don't get to 6.5 or something like that, but I think we hit six again if that happens. I think it was interesting. Austin Gale, we've had on the show before. He used to work at Pro Football Focus. He does some stuff for the Ringer now. He did a great job yesterday. He was kind of documenting some of the timelines from hyperextended knees. But there's so much variables with,
sure,
that, where it's the bruising, it's the amount of inflammation, like all that kind of stuff. So he did kind of note, you know, Justin Fields missed a week. Ezekiel Elliott missed almost a month, same kind of injury. So it varies greatly. But then there was also, you know, multiple guys that came out yesterday and saying, hey, they've played, you know, the same week after suffering that type of injury. So I think we still don't really know how likely it is he's going to go or not. I also think, Gil, if this was week five, wouldn't we all be saying, Don't even trot him out there. Kelce's too important. Make sure he stays healthy. I feel like there's something about week one, though, where they might force it more just to get, like, it's Thursday night football, week one of the NFL season. These guys have been practicing all summer. Everybody's jacked up, ready to go. I don't know why, but I feel like there's more of a likelihood he would go in week one than a week four, week five situation.
David Chow, our buddy David Chow, did you see his initial reaction? He was like, hyperextended knee in practice day, worst case, three letters starting with A. Well, I think we've ruled that out so far,
yes,
right?
Yes, they have, yep.
Best case, bone bruise. Either way, opening game, doubtful at best, he said.
Okay, yeah.
If we buy into what Dr. Chow is saying.
Yeah, I mean, again, for some of the things I read yesterday, there's so many variables with the bruising, how much bruising, inflammation, all that kind of stuff.
First Megapod of the year, the Beating the Book podcast Megapod. We have done it for over a decade. Again, before anyone else besides, let's say, Chad Millman at ESPN was doing sports betting podcasting, we were doing Megapods and guessing lines. And we had a first of the season, our first of the season yesterday here live recorded at the D. The staples of the show this year, Todd Wishnev, the star of Showtime's docuseries Action, of course, and Will Hill from the Bear Bets podcast. Will Hill joined us all year long, the two of them remotely, and our first rotating guest, because that's really the shtick of the show, is we have a rotating pro bettor each and every week. It was Steve Fezzik, and the conversations with Fez are so awesome. I cannot recommend this episode more highly. We get into discussions about, and I think the video clip that we put out yesterday was one of these, we get into discussions about football strategy and optimal strategy, and some of them will sort of make your head explode. Like, what? You would do that? If you went up three, you wouldn't kick the extra point to go up four at the very end of a game? Like, we get into all kinds of things that will sort of challenge your construct of playing the sport of football. And so it's a really fascinating discussion. But the same format remains where we have our three best bets. I won't share those with you now. I'll say go listen to the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, week number one with Fez. We, of course, talk about our teaser of the week, our survivor plays, and then every show ends with the final two questions. And the final two questions, which big favorite is the most likely to lose outright, which is also a proxy way of saying what survivor play should you be scared about. Fezzik's pick was Minnesota, talking about the big favorites. Fezzik's pick was Minnesota against Tampa Bay, of the big four favorites that were over 6 points. Mine was Minnesota as well against Tampa Bay. Will's was Kansas City, and this was before the Travis Kelce news. He thought Kansas City of the big favorites was the most vulnerable against Detroit tomorrow night. And Todd, who refuses to play by the rules, he picked Jacksonville, less than a six-point favorite on the road against the Colts. which is sort of consistent with Drew yesterday. We're like, what game, you know, what game are you worried about? Or like, what game would you stay away from? And he's like, I don't want to play a Colts game all year long. Like, he cannot wrap his brain around the Colts as a football
player. Yeah, no, I real quick on that. I get what Drew's saying on that. I'm going up against him week one. Week one, I'm going up against him. I'm more worried about that middle of the season. Like, is this just Anthony Richardson turns into Mike Vick and we have no idea what's going on the football field with the offense, right?
Yeah. When you say you're going against them, you're talking about which game?
I'm on the Jags in that game.
You're on the Jags?
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm just saying week one.
Oh, you're going against his philosophy?
Yeah, at least week one.
I got you. Okay. So, yeah, Minnesota for me and Fez, Kansas City for Will, Jacksonville for the team most likely, the big favorite most likely to lose outright. We'll talk about which game none of us wanted a part of and more on the NFL next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The updated NFL betting guide is out now. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19 or save 50%. Off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. Of course, we also did mention about the Chiefs and the Lions tomorrow night. Did I say Chiefs and Tigers before? No, Chiefs and Lions. I don't know. Now I'm in baseball mode. Chiefs and Lions. Obviously, the absence of Chris Jones is still in a contract dispute with the Chiefs.
Oh, so, yeah. And hasn't practiced.
In the scheme of things, what's a bigger loss for the Chiefs, Kelce or Jones? You could make an argument for both.
They are both incredibly important. I'm not going to pull a Wishnev. I will answer it. It is Kelce still. I think for this team, it is Kelce. But they are both incredibly important. I mean, Jones at this point, I don't think I've seen officially ruled out. But there's no way he's playing. He hasn't practiced.
Oh no, he's not playing. He was placed on the old. Unable to perform? Not unable to perform, but there's a certain list that he is on. He will not be playing tomorrow night.
Okay.
What game do you want no part of is another staple question on the Beating the Book Megapod podcast, which, again, is available where all podcasts are distributed. Tremendous amount of downloads here in less than 24 hours as well. Always super flattered by that. By the way, for guessing lines on Monday, in case you missed the news yesterday, Chrissy cannot be a part of it this year. We will do something similar. I will not replace him with another bookmaker. I wouldn't do that ever to Chrissy. I have too much respect for what we've done over 10 years doing it together. But we will maintain sort of the structure of it. A lot of people sending in all kinds of suggestions of what they want done. But we will maintain the structure of it. We just won't have. Maybe we'll just do an AI Chrissy Andrews. Can we get an AI Chrissy? Can we do that? He won't mind that, really.
No, even better. Hologram Chrissy?
Hologram Chrissy? Hey, what do you mean you're not here with us? He says to me, Chris Andrews says to me, he goes, Gilly, I'll still listen if you do the recaps. So I think I have to do the
recap.
My recraps. Or my recraps. That's what they are. Yeah.
Man, I was just going to compliment you, too. Yeah. Your recaps are amazing, and yes, we will keep those intact somehow.
Yeah, when we say recaps, but yeah, there's always the one or two people out there, why are you doing recaps? It's not recaps like you'd be like, oh, it's first. it's the parts of the game that have the most betting impact, where the coaches are the stupidest.
Yes.
Where we can't believe what we're watching anyway, how the game.
Situational moments,
I think
you do a great job of picking up on, even with some that I don't, you know, like I won't even pick up on from the day before, and you'll bring them up, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that was a bigger turning point than I thought of at the time.
We'll still do that. But as far as the Megapod yesterday, so we talked about, again, which are the big favorite, most likely to lose outright. Minnesota for me and Fez, Kansas City for Will. Todd wouldn't play by the rules. He went Jacksonville on the road against the Colts. Which game do you want no part of? Fezzik's answer was different than every other answer that we'll ever get on this question all year, which is most of us, our minds immediately go to, well, we're just not certain about this matchup or this team and that team particularly. Here's the spread. This is about sides. So we stay away from it, which will be the answer for the rest of us. Fezzik said for him it's just a numbers thing where it's like, okay, if he has a game that's lined at 1.5, let's say, well, he thinks immediately, well, I'll tease those. If he has a game that's close to a 3 or a 7, he thinks, I got to get the best of it. I got to get the right number there. So for him, it's just a question to be answered about what game can he do the least with manipulation-wise in terms of the spread. So he had the no-man's land games. He picked the Rams at Seattle and Jacksonville at Indianapolis because of those numbers, which lie in between 3 and 7.
Makes sense.
That's his way of
answering it. From a Fezzik standpoint.
From a Fezzik standpoint.
Of course, I'm involved with both of those.
Of course you are. Yeah. No, I know you are.
But, you know, there is the difference there because it's Steve Fezzik, and then it's Kelly Bidlin with the Square Bears and the rest of them. So, yeah, I'm on the Seahawks and I'm on the Jacks, yeah.
Todd said Rams at Seattle is the game he wants no part of this week, week number one in the National Football League. Doesn't know what he's getting with that game. Will said, and this is all based on the number, remember, Baltimore is the biggest spread on the board. They're a 10-point spread. That's the game he chose that he wanted no part of, Houston at Baltimore. And I could have picked Miami and the Chargers, Cincinnati at Cleveland. Don't know if I love either of those two games. I ended up with Green Bay at Chicago because that's the game where no outcome would surprise me. Green Bay in a close game, Chicago in a close game, Green Bay in a blowout, Chicago in a blowout. Nothing would surprise me. Do we have a Kelly Square Bears?
This is all season long. Join Kelly and the Square Bears for your fantastic NFL bets, just like all the favorites I'm laying this week.
Is this a segment we're doing, or is this a?
No, this is just a little graphic Michelle made for us.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
very cute.
Look
at you,
Kelly and the Square Bears.
Oh, you're as adorable as the other bears. The other question that got down: are we doing? If we're not doing the standard NFL guessing lines with Chrissy, are we still doing college football guessing lines with Kelly? Because the humor of that is that it's juxtaposed against the real guessing lines.
Yeah. That honestly, I feel like that's a tougher one.
That's a tougher one for you?
Yeah, because it is – that was always a nod to what you guys did with regular guessing lines. So, I don't know, man. We got a lot to figure out.
It's kind of foisted upon us.
I mean, the Mondays are more, you know, the Mondays in your NFL recraps are more important because they are more helpful for people out there.
Yeah, usually our first instinct is the best one.
Me guessing college football lines is
not so much.
Just hopefully funny and entertaining for you out there. But
yeah,
I just looked at the board a little while ago. Wild college football lines this week, I was surprised by already.
You're already cheating. I do have a tennis play today. We talked about, we're going to talk to Zach Cohen later about the U.S. Open. I am on Marketa Vondrasova today as an underdog against Maddie Keys, the American Madison Keys, who got to the finals of this tournament some years ago. I want to say 2018 against Sloane Stephens. She lost that final. But Vondrasova mentioned on the Beating the Book podcast, the U.S. Open preview, besides Iga Świątek, best raw hardcore numbers, Vondrasova and Coco. I said yesterday, I fully expected when Świątek was bounced from this tournament that the finals will be Coco versus Vondrasova. I stick by that. I got Vondrasova as a underdog today at +116. Again, all of these available at VSiN.com/picks. Though she did have to remove herself from her doubles match, which she was doing with Barbara Strykova, which is going to be Barbara Strykova's last career tournament. So she was sobbing because she knows she was ruining her last Barbara Strykova's last tournament.
So
Vondrasova's shoulder might be an issue, and I'm betting that it's not in the end.
Was that yesterday or the day before?
It was the day before.
The
day before. Yesterday was, in case you missed it, Ben Shelton beat Francis Tiafoe in a battle of Americans. Ben Shelton, 20-year-old Ben Shelton, who was just playing college tennis at Florida.
That's incredible.
is now in a U.S. Open semifinal. He was in the Australian Open quarters, I believe it was. To get to the quarters or to get to the round of 16? I can't remember now. But now he's in the semifinals, the first semifinals of his career. And his, how can I put this? His, it's not histrionics. It's his celebration of his great moments, his stumping to the crowd. A lot of people don't really enjoy it.
Really?
A lot of people are not fans.
He's a Florida Gator.
He's a 20-year-old kid.
Come on.
Let him do what he's doing.
Well, oh, that was – I'm mad I missed that one. I almost put in a flyer on Tiafoe, too, because I just – I love him. I love his game. Oh,
love Tiafoe. Let's go to the back to the NFL here for odds that you've put together here for divisions. Was it divisions or was it just conference and Super Bowl?
And Shelton made it to the quarters.
To the quarters, the Australian Open, yeah.
An interesting market. I thought up at DraftKings, just, you know, a billion different ways to bet the NFL, right? But there is the divisions to make the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. That's what you want to do.
So yeah, I thought there was some interesting ones in there. Obviously, this is, you know, not something a lot of people are going to gravitate towards betting, but kind of like we talked about with exactas, I think there's a lot of – I'm really heavy on the Eagles and the Cowboys this year, so – I think if there's any different ways to play, however you can project those teams that you're high on moving forward, look for opportunities. And I think this is another one where, okay, yes, the NFC East is the short shot in the first three of these that we have.
So AFC West versus NFC East is a short shot at plus 450. Yep. AFC East versus NFC East, 5-1, and AFC North versus NFC East, plus 550. So NFC East in all three of those.
Yeah, but even, you know, you could take two of them, you know, if you're as high on the Eagles and the Cowboys as I am, okay, maybe you could take the AFC West if you love the Chiefs or the AFC East. I'd probably actually mix in the AFC North because I think there's a couple teams there that could make a run. Just another market at DraftKings thinks worth pointing out where there's a million different ways to get down the NFL and bet teams or situations different ways. Make sure you're always shopping around.
Yeah. Would you, I mean, it just notes, you know, bears noting NFC East is where the short shots exist, followed by a cluster of NFC West matchups.
Yep.
With the theory being, I guess, San Francisco and Seattle is a double whammy that could get out and get all the way to the Super Bowl in a weakened NFC, followed by the NFC North. Yes, it's a terrible division, but you get it. There's fewer teams that can get there from the NFC. So there's less competition. So one team could catch fire in the postseason. It's not a market I would rather do the exactas for, you know, way more bang for your buck.
Me too.
Way more bang.
Yeah.
The short shot being like a 60-1, right, between the Eagles and the Chiefs, I believe it was. Anyway, just a reminder that there's so many ways to bet this here. Tomorrow, we do this in earnest. The NFL season 2023 kicks off. We'll talk to Will Hill about it on the other side. Baseball, college football, all his picks next. Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa, card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere, works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/vsin. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Scott at MadMarine77. Hey, Gil, I don't always watch tennis, but have been more than these days. Just curious, is this Shelton guy always so arrogant? Is it because it's the U.S. Open and it's rowdy, or am I completely reading him wrong? Thank you. Greg Bernier says, I agree. His arrogance and hamming it up for the crowd is painful to watch. Well, he's 20. I'm with you. I get it.
Was the crowd chanting SEC, SEC?
They were not. They were not doing
good,
that.
Good.
Let's see. Loch Ness on the podcast, on the Beating the Book Megapod. A lot of response on the Megapod. A lot of response on guessing lines. Loch Ness at Capital Loch Ness. Some real interesting talk about analytics. This episode will make you think about football in a different way. Fezzik had some great knowledge. Now football can begin. This is from, by the way, have you noticed ever since Elon took over, the amount of bots has just, like, ramped up massively?
What are you talking about, Gil? All I've noticed ramping up is a lot of attractive women liking my tweets, okay? That's all I've noticed.
It's all legit.
I mean, that's how we're growing as a show, right? Like, that's how you grow. Come on.
All this time I thought they were bots. Wow,
yeah,
they
really, yeah, wow, yeah. Come
really
on, man. Those are real women.
I think those girls are into you, man. Bo Bimbo, he says, this is a bigger breakup than Jen and Brad. Can't we all just get along? I mean, there's so many of those guessing lines ones that I'm not going to. I appreciate every single one of them, even if I don't read them. Jason, let's see. This is from Doug Wedge. I grabbed Strider this morning at plus 550, a good start tonight, and we are in business. Yes, huge start for Strider tonight. Let's go. Jesse Welch. All right, boys, how many yes men do we have lined up for today? Ha ha, he says. That's from the Motor City Mike tweet yesterday about accusing us of having just yes men picking Strider. Tommy Lorenzo, thank you for the continued Strider Cy Young talk. As like you, I'm holding multiple Strider Cy Young tickets. Can you please add Red Sox first baseman Tristan Casas to the propaganda MLB postseason machine? Thanks in advance. Let's see here. Jesse also says, just make sure that Andrew Sports AI fills out a 1099. And Motor City Mike, we should give him love because we were giving him a hard time yesterday. He says, hey, Gil, can't you do guessing lines with Chris on your very own pod, Beating the Book? A great suggestion. I'm afraid the answer is I was told no as well. Okay. So let's talk to Will Hill. He's been patient. He is the star of the Megapod, as well as, of course, being a star of the Bear Bets podcast, which is Chris Velika's new pods over at Fox Sports. He joins us now. Will Hill at Not The Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
Yo, what's going on? I appreciate the kind words, and you call me the star of the Megapod. But in terms of usage rate, I think you have to give that moniker to Todd. Todd's usage rate much higher than mine.
Yeah, I just want to give you your first show review would be, don't let that dude motorboat over you. That's the only note I would give. But it's hard.
And I went back and listened to it. And underrated, I didn't realize how funny it was at the moment, but Todd was giving out his picks, and he's like, I like under 47 Giants Cowboys. You know, it was 28-20 last year. Fez is like, what? When, you know, that's a strange handicap to say it was 28-20 last year. It's going to be under 47.
It's a very strange handicap. The banter between is phenomenal. What are your – let's do this football. Let's do NFL, college, baseball. Let's try to get it all in. Let's start with what's happening today, which is Major League Baseball. What did you play today?
Yeah, I actually liked the card a lot today, which is scary. I played under first five in Twins Guardians with Gavin Williams going against Ryan. That's under 4.5 in the first five. I also played the Jays, I think minus 175 or so. Anything under $2, Jays versus A's. I mean, it wasn't easy last night, but a team like the Jays playing to get in the playoffs with their talent level just has to take care of business against the A's. So that's, you always say, hey, you got to make bets you're willing to lose. That's a bet I'm willing to lose. So I laid it with the Jays. I also played Philly on the money line, I think minus 115 or so, with Wheeler going against the Padres. And over 9.5 Rockies, Diamondbacks, Davies, I'm not a fan of. That was a terrible loss for Arizona last night. They could not get anything going offensively. Just a brutal loss. But these are two over teams, two pitchers I don't really like too much. So to me, this has all the makings of a high-scoring game. So I don't play a lot of overs, but this is one that looks like an over to me. So over 9.5, so those four.
Okay, terrible loss by the Diamondbacks yesterday. I said it's the worst Giants loss of the season, only because they actually had offense yesterday, had two different leads and multiple runs, and still couldn't get it done against the Cubs. The Giants have lost five in a row, now on the outside looking in the NL wild card, which is still hotly contested. Number three position, that is, between the Reds, the Marlins, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants. Right now, the Reds on the inside, but so much more baseball, obviously, to be played.
I thought the Marlins were dead a couple weeks ago, too. I'm surprised they have this second life in them. They've won, I think, now five in a row. They beat the Dodgers last night. I've got some minus 220 on them to miss that I am starting to sweat out. I thought they were dead and buried.
Well, their schedule's by far the hardest of those four down the stretch, if that matters. So give you some solace on that.
We talked about this last week. These NL wildcard teams, it's amazing. They all go through these stretches where they can't lose for a week and a half or 2 weeks. They can't win for a week. I mean, they're all just so streaky. The Reds have had these streaks, multiple streaks too. Giants have had them. Diamondbacks have had them. It's the strangest race. And I know, you know, once football gets started, it gets buried. It's, you know, a little blur, but these are some great races, fun races.
I love this. Still, you know, when everyone asks, what's your favorite time of the sports year, the sports betting year? It's still this, September and October, when you know, you have the crack of football on the weekend, and then what's the Deion Sanders? Baseball's my brain, football's my brain on crack. The old sort of nod to the old anti-drug commercial campaign of the 80s. That's how I feel about it. Baseball's so great during the week down the stretch.
Let me get one more baseball that I forgot to mention. It's not a game today, but, you know, me, you, and Felik are all in a group text. I forget who kind of thought of this first. We've all been on to this idea for, you know, for a while now, that the Rangers could miss the playoffs. It was obviously at much better prices a couple weeks ago, but you can still get them at plus 140 to miss. if you look at their schedule, they are just in a complete free-for-all, a free-fall here. I just think, look, two things. I would bet Rangers to miss the playoffs at plus 140. I think if you played at Rangers to miss it plus 140 and Seattle to miss it like 2-1, one of those is probably going to miss because they play each other seven times. One is going to knock the other out. I think Toronto will get in. And I know it's expensive now, but Houston minus 190 to win the West, I don't see how they don't win it. They have a 10-game stretch coming up where they play nothing but the Royals and the A's. The other two teams have tough schedules. Feels like Houston here's got some, is going to pull away with this.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. We've been saying Houston's going to win the division here on this show for forever, it seems like, here during the season. And I brought it up on the show yesterday. The Rangers were plus 165 to miss yesterday, plus 140 today. That's great advice. And by the way, Toronto, like, if you just watch baseball every night, they're not good at baseball. Like, the fact that they'll get in, or the Rangers, my season win total over on the Rangers, limping to the finish line. We'll see if they even make the postseason. Okay, we have 90 seconds for each of these. NFL, week one, go. What'd you bet?
Dolphins plus 3. There's some 3.5s minus 120. I mentioned on the Megapod yesterday. To me, Dolphins and Chargers, if you just said, hey, pick two teams that are dead even, I would pick these two teams. I don't know how you get to 3 with that home field advantage for the Chargers, so I like the plus 3 there. I didn't give it out, but I like your pick of Dallas, especially if you can find a 3. I just think the Giants were extremely fortunate last year. They played basically no games that were competitive against good teams, so I think the worm is going to turn on the Giants this year, so I do like Dallas. It's interesting, tomorrow night, what's the saying in baseball, freeze on a line drive? This news has made me freeze here because it's two things. The Lions are so bad on defense, and Andy Reid has extra time to prepare, but now you're putting Mahomes in a position. All right, he lost Tyreek Hill a couple years ago. Now he's got no Kelsey. Tony's beat up. And I think what's going underrated here, they're missing a lot of guys from last year on defense, whether it's Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Snead is iffy to play. Detroit might march the ball up and down the field. I kind of like Detroit plus the points. I thought they were live anyway. I could see a scenario where they're down 10 with the ball late and they backdoor them, which, you know, they're famous for doing. So I kind of like Detroit plus the points, and I will give out a prop. If you read between the lines or if you read some of these stories, Peter Schrager picked Gibbs Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he said, I'm hesitant to even call him a running back. They're going to use him in the passing game a lot. I think 29.5, 30.5 receiving yards for Jahmyr Gibbs, the rookie. I would play that over. I think they're going to use him in the passing game a ton.
Wow. Okay. Pretty strong words from Schrager.
I played that as well.
You did?
I played that
Jahmyr
same
Gibbs,
prop,
Jahmyr
yep.
Gibbs over receiving passing prop, yep. Receiving yards?
Yep.
Okay. College football, week number 2 in college football. What did you play so far?
Only NC State plus 7.5. I just think that's inflated because it's Notre Dame, but 7.5 on the road is a lot. I wasn't shocked that NC State struggled with UConn. UConn's a feisty team. That was a tough spot I mentioned last week for NC State. So I think 7.5 is a lot for NC State.
And we haven't learned much about Notre Dame yet, have we?
Right. Yeah. No, we haven't. One thing to go back to the Megapod, I think we found some work for Kelly because Fez and Todd mentioned that down 14, teams go for 2 after a touchdown 80% of the time.
Oh.
You and I both said it's like 50%.
No
I still
way.
Think that might have been high.
That's high,
Kelly,
too.
Between a break, there's only 272 games a year in the NFL.
Yeah,
Kelly
can
probably
this?
Quickly look that up, yeah.
Yeah, no problem, Will. No problem.
We sent that video clip out yesterday. Fez and Todd, just to let you know, people can watch the video clip. I tweeted it out yesterday at Beat of the Book. Fez and Todd are like, yeah, no, 80% of the teams have figured out that when you're down 14 and you score, you go for 2 after that. And I was like, what? 80%?
No.
What are you talking about?
What percentage
really?
Did you guys say?
Well, we said 50 just to be polite.
I was going to say,
polite.
I think it's 50 at best.
I think it's like no more than 25% at this point.
Okay, I think it's higher.
We're going to find out once Kelly looks it up during the break. We're going to find out for
yeah.
sure.
Kelly, work on that, would you? You know what Brent used to say to his interns? Brent Musburger, when he used to give him research projects, he'd be like, that'll keep him busy for a while. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Twitch.tv/GoldBoysNetwork and Bear Bets Podcast. Thanks.
Oh, and Bear Bets Podcast. Zach Cohen on the U.S. Open next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The best Thursday of the year is coming up, and it's all about NFL opening night. Football's back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer to celebrate. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Don't wait till kickoff to get in on all the hype. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. New customers get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. That's code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trust the glove. Great pod. Great megapod. Fezzik is great as the grumpy rain man. J&J Watering Hole. Seeing where you are actually broadcasting from now, your biggest concern has to be keeping Kelly out of the out of Bacon Nation on breaks.
Oh, I met him right across the casino here upstairs, like, I don't know, a few months ago. So, yes, thanks for the tweet. I've been to multiple places here. I've never been to Bacon Nation.
Oh, in the corner right
there?
Yeah. Oh, I think that spot changes all the time.
Yeah, I've never been over there.
Teasers and parlays. Guessing college lines with Kelly has to continue one of the highlights of football season last year. Scott, New York Mets 16. Hey, Kelly, tell us how you really feel about Gil's show. Hashtag recrap.
Recraps. I did lose a lot of money at the craps table last weekend, so maybe that just sunk into my brain.
Bobby Geddes. I certainly agree the game recaps are very helpful on Mondays, but if you play along as I do religiously, I think it is equally as helpful to see where my numbers are off, and hearing Chrissy's explanation is just very helpful all around. Well, that's the point of that show, right? That's always been the point. It's not my guesses. It's Chrissy's explanation, and it's the interactive nature of it where you should be guessing along with, and so that's where the sort of beginning of your handicapping week in the NFL ought to begin, and we'll try again to finesse it. Should we call finessing the lines this year? Maybe not. Michael Burns, I find myself not listening to you guys and trying to figure out what song is playing in the background. Will Hill already texted me this morning. He goes, hey, Gil, could you quiet up a little? I'm trying to figure out what's playing.
It's way lower this morning. Yes, yeah. If you can guess it today, I'll be impressed.
Good friend Chillionaire. Oh, I like that Twitter handle. Can you explain the end of the third quarter bet mentioned in the Megapod? Oh, yes. Again, on the Megapod, beating the book Megapod, we got into a whole bunch of different subjects. Todd brings up the end of the third quarter bet. So this is not available at every sports book, but first of all, it was brought up in the context of, you know, how can you make some pretty prudent in-game bets? And one of the things that we talk about all the time is setting yourself up for a two-for-one situation. Now, by the way, we were mocking before the break, you know, do teams get that when they're down 14 and they score a touchdown that they should go for two? And Fezzik and Todd were saying it's 80% of teams, and both Will and I were like, what are you talking about, 80%? The one thing that NFL teams do get now, I think, because Bill Belichick started this, was as the first half is winding down, especially if you're getting the ball first in the second half.
Oh yes, yeah.
You gotta two for one this as best as you can. So ideally, and obviously, you know, if you're gonna have a free path into the end zone, you're not gonna stop. But ideally, you'd score a touchdown with less than 10 seconds left, and then you'd get the ball back immediately in the second half, and it's the football two for one that we're talking about.
It's great to see, though, NFL coaches finally catch up to kids playing Madden over, like, the past 20 years that figured that out forever ago.
So many lessons that they could learn from Madden. By the way, Fezzik makes the point about the Megapod yesterday. He goes, how many GMs do you think would listen to this and, like, totally think differently about football? I'm like, all of them would.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good Fezzik's interaction was with us
yesterday. Shout out to Aaron Schatz, right? We had John Harbaugh dropping a DVOA reference.
John Harbaugh mentioned DVOA the other day. He sure did. But so here's the thing, real quick before we get to Zach, which is, so what I was saying was, oh, those are great bets to make, then an in-game bet there for, you know, end of game, like, because you know you're going to get the bump of two possessions. What Todd was saying is, make it an end of third quarter bet, even less of a runway afterwards to worry about. Not every book offers that, but what he was referring to, Chillionaire, was that some books do have that. You can make bets that only go to the end of the third quarter, so you have to shop around for those. We don't have that in Vegas anywhere.
I haven't seen
it. We do not have it in Vegas. Todd has it where he is. He's in Pennsylvania. So whatever book exists there that has those bets. That's what that refers to. Zach Cohen joins us. He is a VSiN contributor, writes a lot about multiple sports, but he's a U.S. Open guy. He's a tennis guy, and he's got U.S. Open thoughts. Zach Cohen joins us right now again with the Twitter handle Betting on X, his brand new one. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing very well. Did you have anything yesterday in tennis at all?
Yeah, I made the mistake of tweeting out that I was on a hot streak yesterday, and I immediately followed up with an 0-4 day. So
don't do that.
I did have I was on the wrong side of the Tiafoe-Shelton match, which, you know, the most disappointing part about it was that the match didn't live up to the hype at all. You know, I thought Tiafoe came out really flat and kind of gave that match to Shelton. So that was probably the worst part about it.
Well, I know somebody who was at that match yesterday. That's exactly what he texted me. He goes, what a disappointing trip I just made to New York City. Because that's the match he ended up with, and And not only was Tiafoe flat to begin with, but after he lost that third set breaker, he was just completely deflated, it felt like, afterwards, and Shelton wins in four. What do you have today? It is the second half of the quarterfinals, if you will. Keys versus Vondrousova, Sabalenka versus Zhang Xinwen. Love her on the ladies' side. I've already said my bet today is on Vondrousova. Men's side, it is Alcaraz against Zverev. That's a banger. And then Rublev and Medvedev, which is like a little brother, older brother kind of thing. What are your plays today, sir?
Yeah, I'm unfortunately on the other side of you. I do have keys in that match against Vondrousova. I just think that, you know, Vondrousova has she's been complaining about, you know, the weight of the ball because they've switched to that men's ball at the Open. She said that it's been hurting her elbow, kind of trying to generate power. I don't think that's a problem for Keys. I think she has some of the most natural power on the tour. And I also think that she's become, you know, borderline elite returner. She's up at 40% break percentage this year. And I think that that's something we saw really manifest itself against Jessica Pegula. So I think she's going to get into a few of Vondrousova's service games. And I don't think that, you know, that's going to happen the other way around. I think the Keys, when she's focused, is one of the best servers in the women's game.
Definitely an injury concern, as I mentioned, for Vondrousova, who had to pull out of doubles already as a precautionary thing to try to be as full strength in this match as she could possibly be. Anything else today?
You know, I kind of thought it was slim picking, so I did something that I don't normally do, and I parlayed Alcaraz and Sabalenka, and I got it at minus 170. I believe it's around minus 185 now, if you wanted to do the same thing. You know, I don't feel great about it. I don't like giving away parlays, but I do think that both of them are going to win their matches. If I were more worried about one of them, it would be Sabalenka. I do think that Alcaraz is going to roll against Zverev.
Irina Sabalenka, the new world number one. Tomorrow, this is what I'm really interested in. So obviously on the men's side tomorrow, it's Djokovic and Shelton. Are you doing anything with that?
I think I'm going to go Shelton plus 130 to win one set. I just can't shake the fact that I don't think that Djokovic has played great tennis. I thought that Fritz, you know, like Tiafoe, came out completely flat against Djokovic. I thought he played key points in that match really poorly. I don't think you're going to get that from Shelton just because there's nothing to lose. He's playing with house money, and I do think that he has such a live arm that, you know, he has such a high floor with the way he serves and the way he pounds that forehand. And I could see the crowd kind of getting to Djokovic there. So I would guess Novak wins that one in four sets.
Okay, and then here's what I really want to ask about tomorrow, because I already know how I feel about this. Like, to me, again, by hard court raw data, Coco Gauff, besides Iga and Vondrousova, had the best going into this tournament. However, Karolina Mukova tomorrow against Coco Gauff. Now, this is a semifinal that has already been lined at the U.S. Open. Mukova's plus 178. Coco's minus 222. Does Mukova tempt you at all there?
I'm not taking it because I do have Coco at plus 1,200 to win the tournament. And I did see the way they played in Cincinnati. I thought that Gauff really, really tired Mukova out, especially in the humidity in Cincinnati. And I do think you're going to get a little bit of that in New York. I think that they're playing at night tomorrow, so it should be hot, it should be humid. And I do think that that's going to get to Mukova a little bit. And I kind of just think that Coco, these slower hard courts are really the best surface for her. Because I know we've talked about, you know, her ability to play on clay, you know, it slows things down for her forehand. You're getting a little bit of both of that with her speed being a factor and now her power. That forehand has really improved, but her serve and her ability to return has also really improved. So I do think this is kind of the perfect conditions for her. And I do think that she's kind of, you know, playing to the crowd in a way that I'm really impressed with, because there's a lot of pressure that comes with being, you know, an American that's expected to win. I think she's handled that brilliantly.
She has. She is so poised and so super mature for her age. Like, I watch her and I'm like, I was so not this poised at that age. Like, I can't. And it's also a sign of the times, right? Kids are exposed to much more social media, so they're much more worldly than we were necessarily at our age equivalent. But she's super impressive for all the reasons you state. I believe Coco is the rightful favorite. I do think it's her to win this all. On the other hand, as a betting line, I think I probably lean Mukova, which will make people's heads explode. Because again, when you ask, wait, you can't have both of those things. I was like, yeah, but no, betting's different. If I ran the simulation of that at the price that Mukova's at, you know, 1,000 times, the value to me is on Mukova, even though I wouldn't give her more than a 50% chance of winning. So that usually makes, we talk about that in baseball all the time, how new bettors find that hard to sort of process. Zach Cohen, everybody, betting on X. Appreciate it, man. Good luck with all your bets, except for that Bonders Open one.